Welcome in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning discussing the craziness that is Tennessee football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Blake, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. And Blake, obviously a crazy day yesterday. Jeremy Pruitt out, Philip Fulmer retiring. What did you think of all that went down yesterday? And what do you think the scope is of this investigation, both by Tennessee and the NCAA?
Well, the investigation obviously goes pretty deep and it's pretty serious with a lot of potential violations. The chancellor laid that out pretty clearly yesterday. It's interesting, you usually don't see a university fess up to the violations or what it believes to be the violations this early in the process and so explicitly. A lot of times, especially here in the last couple of years, you see the universities kind of entrench themselves in these cases and tell the NCAA, if you believe malfeasance happened, okay, go ahead and prove it. Tennessee obviously not taking that stance, but there's two issues at play here. One is the investigation, and two was the fate of Jeremy Pruitt. I think, quite clearly Tennessee wanted to take care of Pruitt's fate on the front end and, fire the people that they thought were responsible for these violations, and they feel like Pruitt was involved in that. And then deal with part two of this on the other side of it. So it's it's going to be interesting to see now how Tennessee moves forward with this, because they quite clearly have kind of admitted that there was a lot of malfeasance that did occur within the recruiting of the football program.
Yeah, and Blake, great job on this. You've broken a lot of news in this story along the way here. So I want you to now give me a prediction. How much money is Tennessee going to end up having to pay Jeremy Pruitt?
Prediction?
Exact number, Blake.
It's going to be difficult, I think, for Jeremy Pruitt, because Tennessee laid out in that termination letter six fire for cause provisions that Pruitt violated in his contract. So, in his statement that his lawyer put out, or it was his lawyer's statement last night, the lawyer said that they contend that Jeremy Pruitt did not commit any major violations, which was one of the provisions that Tennessee says that Pruitt violated in his contract. The lawyer contends that Jeremy Pruitt did not know about the conduct of members of his staff. Well, if you read his contract, and obviously I'm not a lawyer, but you read his contract, it doesn't say that Pruitt not knowing that members of his staff were committing violations would be a defense. And even if, Pruitt and his lawyer are able to show that he didn't commit any major violations, again, there are several fire for cause provisions that Tennessee is saying he violated. And, this is something Tennessee's been doing the last several years, really, dating back to since John Curry was fired. In 2017, Tennessee has been adding more and more fire for cause provisions to its contract throughout the years. And I think for exactly these circumstances, for, when it needs, or when it's throwing someone overboard, whenever it's firing someone, to offer itself protections against these lofty buyouts that Tennessee's been paying over the years. It was just a couple years ago, Tennessee led the nation in severance payments. Now the day comes where it's exercising these fire for cause provisions, and I think it's probably much better set up to protect itself against a potential lawsuit than it was a few years ago when it fired John Curry and John Curry was able to get some settlement. Will Pruitt be able to get some settlement money? It's possible, but I do think the way this contract is structured, there's several avenues that Tennessee's going to be able to give itself to you know, to make this fire for cause stand up, I think.
But of course, the road to zero is a long, public, ugly road, right? I mean, I guess that's kind of my thing is, like, at some point, don't you say, okay, here, take this and go away and shut up?
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, does Tennessee have grounds maybe to take this to the finish line and say you get nothing? I think the contract would say that yes, they very well could have grounds to do that, but is it worth it in the end? I mean, that's an interesting question, I think, for the chancellor and the president that they will now have to face. And actually, I asked the chancellor that yesterday of, did you consider trying to settle up front with Jeremy Pruitt? And if so, why didn't you do that? And she said, yes, I did give some brief consideration, but that in the end, that just didn't sit right with her, given the number of violations that she feels occurred under Pruitt's watch, the extent of malfeasance that she believes was going on in that program. She said it didn't sit well with her to you know, to come to a front end settlement and to pay buyout money, and instead, you know, the more appropriate thing to do was to pursue this for cause firing. Now, you know, as it goes down the road here, and perhaps that opinion changes, but, you know, at least for now, it seems like Tennessee's pretty committed to not pay any severance money to these fired individuals, because it's, you know, it's not just Pruitt. Obviously, he would be the most extensive one, but those other two, the two assistants, Brian Niedermeyer and certainly Shelton Felton, who is under contract for an additional season, he would fall into that category too of otherwise being owed severance, but because he was fired for cause, Tennessee plans to pay him nothing.
Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Blake, what did you think of the press conference yesterday with Plowman, Boyd, and Fulmer, and the way all that was handled?
Well, certainly a very somber tone, and one thing I did, and it was just kind of remember back to the press conference in 2017 when Philip Fulmer was anointed as AD, because it was, you know, it was not apples-to-apples scenario, but it was somewhat similar in that you had an athletic director change occurring in the midst of a coaching search. Now, the difference was there wasn't a recruiting scandal going on at that time. But if you think back to 2017, I thought that was a very bizarre press conference in which Philip Fulmer was announced as AD, because it was like this celebration. I mean, there was a very celebratory mood that day, and it was strange, because the reason Philip Fulmer was becoming AD was because John Curry was ousted after his coaching search went wayward, and Tennessee had become a national punchline for how poorly its coaching search was going, and it was like this celebratory mood. It was very strange. And conversely, yesterday was very somber. I thought Chancellor Plowman and President Boyd were very stern and laying out that they won't stand for these kind of violations at Tennessee, this kind of breach of integrity as they see it. Philip Fulmer, you know, obviously, I think it's clear that this is quite certainly not the way he envisioned his career ending. In typical Fulmer fashion, there was a cringe-worthy moment in his press conference where he was asked to assess the state or how the football program evolved, you know, under Jeremy Pruitt, and he mentioned that he thought recruiting was good under Pruitt, which is like, wait a second, did someone forget to give Fulmer the memo that the reason these guys are getting fired is because of sweeping recruiting violations within the program? So that was like I said, quite cringeworthy. But beyond that, you know, I thought the somber and stern mood sort of reflected, I don't know, the nature of things when you're firing 10 people and when you're admitting this early in the process that there are serious and numerous violations likely to come from this. I thought the mood was fitting.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. My other part was when Randy Boyd said, I haven't been as proud of you, Phillip, since you raised that trophy in the desert. And I mean, that was just a really heart. Yeah, just a wonderful moment.
That felt like it didn't belong. It did seem like, you know, it did seem like Chancellor Plowman and especially President Boyd in that moment were going out of their way to tell Fulmer just how great of a job they thought he had done throughout the course of his career. And of course, you know, if Philip Fulmer had really done a tremendous job as athletic director, and maybe Tennessee wouldn't have been in this situation of facing, you know, these sweeping and numerous violations within the football program. Now, the chancellor was quite clear in saying that Philip Fulmer isn't connected to these violations in any way, indeed, but part of his job as athletic director is to monitor his athletic programs and to promote a culture of compliance. And, you know, obviously not only did he fail to jumpstart success within the football program in hiring and then extending Jeremy Pruitt, but he also failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance within at least one of his athletic programs. So, yeah, it's obvious that Tennessee wants a smooth transition, you know, now that Philip Fulmer is going to be stepping down as athletic director, and it's obvious Tennessee wants to handle that as gently and as professionally as possible. And I can understand from a public relations side of things why Tennessee would have every desire to do that. But yes, that part was a little strange too, especially that comment from Randy Boyd towards Philip. And, you know, Philip kind of gave a bit of a forced, tight smile there when Randy said that, but it really seemed to have no place in the press conference.
Yeah, it's funny how nobody mentioned that, like that actually Philip Fulmer should also be expected to promote an atmosphere of compliance. We forgot that part in the presser. Blake, future coaches, potential coaches, how do you think they're looking at Tennessee right now? Obviously, still a place with tradition, with facilities, with resources, all that stuff. But now, in light of this self-investigation, do you think that is just another knock against, you know, hiring the type of coach that can turn this program around?
Well, fans hired Hugh Freeze in October, right? The coaching search.
That's right.
I mean, fans ran the coaching search last time. So, you know, if that's the case, Hugh Freeze would be announced tomorrow. But no, seriously, I would be surprised given the gravity of the NCAA violation situation, or at least, you know, the way the chancellor's laid it out. I'd be surprised if Hugh Freeze emerges as a serious candidate because of, you know, exactly what happened with the NCAA violations, recruiting violations within the Ole Miss program. So it's like, okay, Hugh Freeze off, where do you turn? I do think it's going to be a bit of a challenge for Tennessee to attract top-notch candidates for a couple reasons. I mean, one, you're going to be pretty late in the process. I mean, at the very best, you're going to be hiring a coach in late January. At worst, you're probably going to be going into February. You do wonder if Tennessee is going to focus maybe on some young, up-and-coming type coaches. I mean, I think Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina would be someone that would probably deserve consideration for this. You wonder about Billy Napier at Louisiana. He seems to be pretty content to be patient at Louisiana, and considering that patience, you know, I wonder how strong his desire would be to jump into this situation. Or I think you have to think maybe about the possibility of some guys that are on the market and need a job. Having said that, you know, I think Tom Herman's a name that will come up as maybe a potential, but, you know, for Tom Herman, he's someone that I think, you know, he could really give his career a jump start. I don't think Tom Herman's career, you know, is relegated to be finished, but if he does poorly at his next job, I think his head coaching career could be finished. And so he's got to select that next job pretty carefully, I think, and he's enjoying a lot of buyout money to where he can be picky. And you just wonder if someone like that is going to want to jump into a situation where Tennessee, it seems pretty likely here, is going to be facing either self-imposed penalties in the near future or NCAA penalties to come, or a combination of both. And so, I mean, that's the issue with yesterday, with Tennessee saying we're going to fire these people, we're going to fire Pruitt and others for cause. We're going to admit to sweeping violations within the program. I mean, that's all well and good. Frankly, you know, maybe it's a little bit refreshing to see an athletic department and a university, I should say, you know, admit to malfeasance going on rather than tell the NCAA, we're not going to admit to anything. Good luck proving it. But you know, the difficult part comes now in not only defending against crippling violations on the back half of this, but part two is convincing someone that this is still a job that you want. I mean, as you mentioned, Joe, that there's still a lot of advantages that you enjoy at Tennessee, so it's not like you're not going to attract decent candidates, but I think it's going to be a challenge, and I think we have to acknowledge at least the possibility that Kevin Steele could emerge as a realistic candidate to get the job. I mean, let's not forget, Kevin Steele was the runner-up for this job when Jeremy Pruitt landed it in 2017. Now, he was the runner-up for Philip Fulmer after the search had kind of imploded under John Curry, and there was a firing there, but he was strongly considered for this job before, and I would think that he's very much going to try to get himself in play here now that the job is open again, and I think that's a possibility we have to consider.
Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Blake, great stuff, great job reporting on all this with Tennessee football. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. When Thanks, we come Blake. Back, we'll react to a little bit of what Blake had to say there. How desirable of a coaching job is this going to be now, given everything going on around this football program? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.